After I stop speaking, I'm fighting a cold, and so I'm going to speak for as long as the Spirit keeps my voice going, and then I'll stop. But after I speak, we'll go to open worship. And so those of you who don't know about what the Quaker Open Worship is, it's in the yellow pamphlet in front of you. And the open worship is really the main event of our worship. So what I say is the prelude to that. That's the main event. And we'll go to that after I talk. And be ready. The Holy Spirit may move. She may shake us up. So get ready for that. So the scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 4. And Jesus is talking and he's saying, what do we compare the kingdom of heaven? What parable shall we use for it? It's like a tiny little mustard seed. That's the smallest seed there is. But when you plant it in the ground, it can grow. It can become a huge bush with big branches that can give shelter to all kinds of life. We'll come back to that a little later. So in the fall of 1973, I worked on a farm in Denmark. I'd been a student, and I wanted to take some time off, and a relative of someone I knew owned a farm there and invited me to come help him on the farm, which I did. And I discovered I didn't have a particular talent for farm work. So on fall evenings in Denmark, before it got too cold for the cows to be in the field and they came into the barn for the winter time, in the evening when it was getting dark, we'd drive a tractor down a lane and he would drive the tractor and pulling a wagon, and I'd stand on the wagon and I'd fork off grass to the cows in the field. And one night I was standing on the wagon after we were done and he was pulling the tractor around the other side of the wagon to go. So I was looking out at the field, and the moon was coming up and rising over a line of fir trees in the distance. And kind of a shimmering light, it illuminated some silvery clouds in the sky. And all of a sudden, it hit me that this amazing beauty didn't just come here by random chance. It must have been created by something. Then about 5 months later, I was back in California, and they say that there are some places in the world that are like thin places, where the distance between the physical world that we live in and the spiritual world is very, very thin. And so for me, these thin places must be moonlit meadows, because I was driving my truck through a meadow at night, and the moon was up. So I was driving along, and all of a sudden, I wasn't seen, but all of a sudden I had a sense of somebody sitting in the passenger seat next to me. And it was Jesus, and he was saying, I love you, don't worry about your life, I'll take care of you. So that got my attention. I can't explain it, but it was real as anybody out there in the audience. At that point, I realized that if God had created the world and me and everything, the question of what was God all about and what did he want me to do and what do you want me to be, it's an important question. God really is a mystery. We don't know how God created the world. We make educated guesses about that, but we don't really know exactly. And God is, obviously, I'm stating the obvious, but God is so far, 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 far beyond us that we don't really comprehend that much about God. We know a few things, or we surmise a few things. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about how God has communicated with us in many ways in the past, through nature, for the beauty of nature, for example. Through prophets and wise people that have come along, but it says that in the last times, God has communicated through His Son, who is the we believe as Christians that Jesus is the fullness of God in the flesh. We believe it's as if God has written Himself into the story of history in Jesus. Jesus said, and he taught many things. Many. And one of the things he said is, I've come that I might give them life and give them abundant life. God is like any parent, I think. We're all God's children. God would like to see his children thrive and be happy and reach their potential. And I think mainly God wants us to know that she loves us no matter what. One thing that made Jesus very, very angry, probably if you see, you know, he said things that were pretty combative sometimes. And one of the things that really got his blood up is when he encountered people that thought that if you did good stuff and you observed rituals, then you're going to get in good with God and God would then accept you. And that was really contrary to everything that he taught. He taught that, sure, God likes good things to happen. He likes good deeds, but God loves us, and the benefit of good deeds is the doer gets to participate in God's love, gets the joy of participating in God's love. That's it. And it's not to get there, but it's to enjoy being there. So our Word Society of Friends were Quakers, and our forebears, going back to the 17th century, knew a few things about. They had a few thoughts about God and God's love, and they had two concepts, the concepts of light and the concepts of seed. We've been talking about that in the adult Sunday school a little while back. So the light is truth and love that comes from beyond us. We all know God is in all things. God is within us. God is everywhere. And this light is light that comes from God. It's the light that it talks about in the Gospel of John, where it says the light has come into the world. And it was talking about Christ in that instance. The scriptures are writings about that light. They're light, writings about the disciples' experience of that light and the early church's experience of that light. And it's a little like the light of the moon. You know, we see the sunlight reflected off the moon. So what we see from the moon is not the sun itself. It's the light reflected. And the scriptures are like that too. So we don't see the living Christ in the scriptures, but they're the reflection of it, of other people's experience of that light. And it's been attested by the church for about 2,000 years that these are dependable expressions of what Jesus was about and what he taught. And that's why knowing them and memorizing them, as Nikki's talked about, is so valuable, because they're pointers. They're pointers about what God's about, what he wants me to do, what she wants me to do. So the actual light that the scriptures reflect can be thought of as the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that Jesus promised would come to be with believers when he was no longer bodily there. That light is available to all. And when we sit in silence in a few minutes, we do that every week. We sit in silence and we see what the light's going to shine into our lives. So we sit together, we kind of let go of our personal concerns and our personal worries and our thoughts and all the things we think about all the time. We just kind of see what God can bring in if we are mentally quiet. One of the reasons the early Quaker movement was so dynamic is that George Fox and Margaret Fell and the other mothers and fathers of the faith, they spent a lot of time sitting in that light and seeing what the light would show them. The light showed them things within them that were contrary to the light. Attitudes they had or practices they did that were opposed to God's love and were not in harmony with the light. And they were absolutely ruthless about getting rid of those things in their life. They spent years on that. They spent years getting the log, you know, the parable is that you have to take the log out of your own eye before you can remove the speck from somebody else's. So they took the log out of their own eye, and they were able to see clearly to be able to critique the things in society at that time that were not right. And I won't go into all of them now, but they caused a lot of change to happen. You know, Christianity, we're a communal religion. We worship together, we sit in silence together, we hear what the Spirit says to us all together. But we can as individuals do that as well. So when we go through the week, I can go through the week what I call with the blinds up. So as we go along, we can set our minds in a way that it's not always churning my own thoughts and thinking my own plans and schemes and worries and so forth, but to be open and to see what the Spirit is going to bring in. And she actually does bring things in. And that's thrilling when that happens. That's very, very good. The second idea that they talked about was the idea of seed that the parable talked about. And that parable was about such a tiny little thing, so insignificant that it could be easily missed. But that seed, you know, as friends, we think we know that spark of God, that seed of God is within everybody, within me and you and everyone. And it's my choice what I do with that seed. It's my choice whether I even see it. It's my choice whether I want to nurture it and help it to grow and develop into something amazing or not. So it's my choice whether I'm on BART, when I'm going to work, if I'm going to be... Sometimes I'm looking at my phone to see how many messages I've got at work. Yeah, you have to do that. But it's my choice in my free time how I'm going to occupy my thought. Am I going to be open to God? Am I going to let God inform my life? What the book of Colossians says, let the living word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's my choice anytime. And Jesus said that we're supposed to be ready at all times for the Spirit to start doing things. And the Spirit has shown many times during history that she is extremely aggressive and will want to cause love to break out in maybe unexpected places. Could happen in my life that something's going to happen that's going to be able to express the Spirit. And it's up to me to be ready for her when she decides she's going to do that. So think about getting ready.